welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I'm joined by my husband, Roger Robbins, today in the studio. And we've got a great topic today. I think we're going to have some fun. This week's overarching theme is about being a discerning believer, which is the calling we all have. And so today, specifically, we are going to touch on this idea of convictions. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of wanted to get started by just talking about what it is to be discerning and how that connects to convictions and kind of the process of forming a conviction.
Yes.
Right? And then maybe just like some misconceptions that we might have or that I have had in the past that we're going to, I don't know, just discuss enjoy talking about.
Right. And so we decided to both wear hats.
It's a hat day.
Green hat day.
Yeah.
And also Jehu's in the...
Producer's also wearing his hat.
He just walked right in with a hat.
We are unified today. It's awesome.
This is unity.
It's a Monday and we're wearing hats.
Hey, welcome our audience and I hope you had a wonderful Sunday. Wherever you assembled, we got the opportunity to go to Frederick and visit the Greater Grace Church there with Pastor Dennis and Kaylee.
Yeah.
And Ryan Green and a whole
shout out to Ryan.
Yeah, Pastor Gary Thornton. And it was really a lot of fun. So, and we could see there that God is on the move in Frederick and loves that city and encourage everyone to go there and visit and get an opportunity to be with them. A lot of fun. So, yeah, discernment. We need it, and without it, like, where are we? We're so lost.
Yeah.
And I think it is as a Christian, it's like I think when you come from like a life of sin, which we've all come from, there's things that we have to unlearn, and that's part of discernment. Is like realizing that there's a lot to stop. And thankfully we have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like it is the Holy Spirit first and foremost and forever that will be the counselor, as it says in John 16, that will guide us into all truth. He's gonna remind us and he is the one in the room of our heart. Thankfully, praise the Lord for that. Isn't that amazing? Like, because as a new believer, we start to realize, we become aware, and suddenly there is a separation that takes place. And I think that's when the new heart, born again, and comes into us, and God gives us a new life through His Spirit. And that nature, unlike the nature we used to live in, the only nature that we knew, born into, conceived into, like in Psalm 51, we begin to operate in it and see that there is another way. There's a better way, more excellent way, right? Like there's an opportunity to see two instead of one. And but then that's like not the end of the story. Really, there's more to it. It's like, wow, this new nature is the one I should only operate in and should be like my singular focus. And as I focus on the new nature and what it's all about, its words, its spirit from heaven, then I begin to like, I get sharp in a way, and we begin to see that this is the way of life, and we learn to walk in it. And then we err in our ways, right? Like we fall down, we can lose, get lost, fall into sin. And then thankfully, the same Holy Spirit that has made us aware is now there present again with words of truth and words of love saying, get back on the way and like follow me. So really, I mean, thankfully, we have these eternal words, the Bible. And I was just thinking that discernment, and I think we can highlight, and I think it will be highlighted this whole week, is Acts 17 and the Bereans that were more noble than all the others. And I think the reason why we cite that is that nobility is a part of, it represents humility, actually. Like, they're noble because of what they submitted to.
Yeah.
And I think that is like our job as discerners, that we would submit to the Word of God and we would submit to the Holy Spirit, and that we would yield to the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, and like that's it, you know, like just submit to what He has done for you and what He has done for me and what He has promised to do, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
And that really just elevates us, and that gives us the ability to discern kind of bird's eye view. We can look down and go, whoa, like here are the two options. And I think don't you think like always as a Christian, we always have this amazing opportunity to discern.
Yeah.
And it's like a great victory.
I think that when I was thinking about the word discerning, and I was I'm very aware that these are like very Christian terms. And we'll talk about that a little bit, but the word discerning to the average person, it does have a meaning. And I was thinking with you, like there's somebody who has like a discerning palate when it comes to food. And I think that helps us understand when we say like, Lord, give me discernment, like that I would want to have discernment in my life. It's this idea that I'm able to like judge things correctly.
Yeah.
And it's like in the dictionary, I like this. It said to comprehend what is obscure, like the ability to comprehend what's obscure. So we're not talking about the Ten Commandments here. Like, yes. Do not kill. Okay. So that one's like really obvious. That's not obscure. But in life, we know that life is very complicated. Situations are very unique. We each live individual personal lives.
Yes.
And that's where discernment is so needed, because things get tricky. It's not as clear. It's a little more obscure. What's the right way, the best way for me? Or what's the thing that I should choose to prioritize? Like those are maybe not as clear. And that's where like discernment is this process that is so valuable to us. And I think as believers, we get to recognize that because of the Word of God that is so rich in wisdom, and because of the Holy Spirit who leads us, we have an opportunity to grow in discernment that others do not have.
Well, and the reason why is like, let's just cite it again, like the Adamic or the corrupted nature within us, it does lurk in the shadows. It is like defiled, and it is insecure. It is hiding. It is really like obscure, but like the new nature of Jesus given to us by His Spirit and revealed to us in Scripture is like so clearly like presented and in the open. Like it's completely, against and contrary to the old nature. Do you know what I mean? That like it is right there in the open in plain sight. And it's kind of like we are commended that we should take a hold of it.
Right.
And we should use it at all costs.
Like it's there. It's always available to us.
Right.
Yeah. And I think getting into the idea of convictions, which is what we want to talk about today and what that even means. You know, it's interesting to note that the word conviction is not found in the Bible. Discern is, and convict is.
Dokimazo is
discern,
which was a dog that your dad named.
Yeah, our dog was named Doki for short. Yeah.
Dokimazo.
That says a lot about how I was raised.
And he was not discerning, right? Didn't he get like hit by a car or something?
No, whoa.
No, that's a different dog.
That was a different dog. Doki was a beautiful.
He was a discerner.
Yeah. Anyways, the word discern is actually, if you look, I wanted to point out in Ephesians 5, I think it's a really great portion for this because it has the word convict there in it. And when we use the word convict, or when we see the word convict in the Bible, it actually means to correct or to expose. So we know like in John 16:8, The Holy Spirit, it says that he will convict the world of sin, righteousness,
and judgment.
And judgment. So that's the word convict, and that means he will expose. Mm. Like, he's going to expose these things, bring them to light. And that's what it says, it exactly says in Ephesians 5. It says that, let's see, verse 8, it says that at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. And it says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And that word expose is the same Greek word convict, because that's the meaning of that word. It's to expose. So I thought that was really enlightening for me when I was trying to clear up what these words mean in my mind. They're very connected to discern and to convict. And then when we talk about having convictions, that is kind of like the fruit of this process.
Yes.
Right. So we titled this episode today that convictions, a process of love, and really forming convictions as a believer is a process. You're not handed a set of convictions upon salvation. Right. And it's definitely a work, but it's a work of love.
Yes.
And that means that, again, if you look in Ephesians 5 at the beginning of the chapter, it says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Mm. So we're to walk in love. And then there's this process of the Holy Spirit convicting and exposing, and we're discerning. So we are examining, we are testing, we're scrutinizing, and then we decide to walk in wisdom. Mm. And that's in verse 15. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Mm. So I kind of like that, right? Like, as a process. It's like, there's an exposing of sin in my life. This is personal, right? So I have been saved personally. It's an incredible act of love, right? That's happening in my heart. My heart is being
and that's
renewed.
Right.
My
and that's
mind
one
is being renewed.
Little note we wanted to make is that there's a big difference between like our personal conviction, which is done directly and solely. It's main. The main teacher, like 1 John 2:20, it's the Holy Spirit doing this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it should be through the Word of God. Like, that's the process. If there's another process in which you're learning or exposing, you should be careful.
Yes.
If it's not the Word of God and not by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And remember, the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. And he's shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts in Romans 5, verse from 5 to 8. So he is like showing us and he's desiring us, desiring as children, like it's out of love that they would know, that we would know as children that we are his, what we are the Father's children, that we are his chosen ones, sons and daughters.
Which was last week's episode, by the way. If you didn't hear it, we talked about correction and how correction is always, the correction of God is always out of love.
Yeah.
And convictions are born out of correction, right?
But what we were saying is that the little sticky part, or like maybe confusing part, is many times not knowing that really the Lord's trying to do the work in the heart. He's not looking at the outside. But we can just go to the outside, and we are by nature conformists. Our old nature.
We prefer that.
We would rather just kind of like come under someone else, some other teaching.
So much simpler.
Maybe like we would say, like what the group is thinking, what the crowd is doing, what the culture is doing. So we're affected by, and I call it like more like, and it's not a bad thing, but there's corporate beliefs versus personal beliefs.
Or convictions, yes. I hear exactly what you're saying. I don't want people to misunderstand. We're not saying that a church shouldn't teach that people should have these certain convictions.
Right.
But I have found that we can so easily miss this opportunity. That's how I like to frame it. Like, having personal convictions is this incredible opportunity for God to actually guide me in my personal life, like my personal decisions. And so if we make it corporate, like, which is the word you used, or like a church culture, and we miss this opportunity for God himself to expose in me personally things he wants me to correct or to stand firm in, or to consider, reconsider, realign. All of these are so personal.
Right.
And I just, I know in my life, I've had missed those opportunities because I just preferred the do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't do this and I do that. And that's going to, everyone's going to give me a thumbs up, and I'm going to get the applause of the people in my church.
Right.
Especially as a church kid. So that's maybe a, it's a specific experience, but I'm sure there are a lot of adult church kids who grew up in a church setting. And I think for me, this issue of convictions was one that God was, he wasn't happy letting me just borrow other people's convictions. Mm. And that's a term that I think about often, is that as I was growing up, I borrowed the convictions of my parents, the convictions of my pastors and teachers and role models. And I think as children, that's okay. You know, we're developing, we're growing, but there comes a point, and there for sure in my life did when I was around in my college years, that God said, it's time. Well, you know, and he was like, we're going to start exposing in your personal life.
Because when we say personal, it's because of love, right? It's direct one-on-one, like, I want to teach you something that you are, and I think the word is convinced.
Yeah.
Like, that's very closely connected to convicted.
Yeah.
Is convinced.
Having a conviction means I'm convinced.
And
that's
if you read John 21 and you see the story about Jesus saying to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Right. But then at the end, he's like, so what about this other disciple?
Mm-hmm.
And he's pointing to John, and Jesus is like, looks direct.
He gives him a smackdown.
Yeah. He just looks at him. He says, like, what is that? What is that?
Yeah. What's that to you?
Just follow me. Yeah. Just follow me. Keep your eyes on me.
Yeah.
Like, just know me, know my ways, know my words, know my life, follow me.
Mm.
And that, I think, is like the central element of personal convictions, is that
Peter, what is it to you?
Yeah. Peter wasn't fully convinced, you know, still, like, and I think all of us can say that as we go through this life and walk of faith, we still need convincing.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just be honest.
Well, and because life changes, and you go into a different situation that you hadn't been in before, and it's like, oh, what do I do in this one? And you have an opportunity for God to tell you.
Yeah, you're like, I've never been to this. Like, I've never been a husband, a father, or, you know, I never got lost, never fell down like this, never did this, that, and the other. I never went through the loved one. And that's the point, is that Jesus is looking to be the faithful teacher and looking to give you the guidance that will equip you to be an amazing Berean, to be this noble, seasoned with salt, seasoned with words of grace in the world that desperately needs it.
Yeah.
So he's looking.
Yeah.
And like you said, an opportunity.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is that, you know, the heart is where it all begins, right? So again, the idea of, I was thinking about this verse where it's quoted in the New Testament, but it's from Isaiah 6:9, and it's that the people listen, but they do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very common that a believer could think about convictions this way, as really like law. And it's like, to hear the law without hearing and fully knowing God's love is like to listen and not understand.
Mm.
Meaning, you know, someone says, you should go to church every week. If you hear that without the love of God, which is saying,
yes,
I love you, I want what's best for you, and I believe that if you go and gather with other saints around the Word of God, it will encourage you and you will encourage others.
Right.
If you don't hear that when you hear you should go to church once a week, you're gonna listen and not understand. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is true of convictions as a whole.
Yes.
That if you're missing the love of God, like his loving, tender, guiding hand, then you won't want to submit to it. Like mm-hmm. it says, like submit under in humility under his hand. Mm-hmm. I'm butchering the verse.
Okay.
But you know where it is.
I don't.
You don't?
I know.
Submit under the mighty hand of God with humility.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to stay under the mighty hand of God? That sounds terrible. Mm-hmm. That sounds oppressive.
Yeah.
It's like, again, it's because you're missing that there is only love in that hand.
Yeah. And I think maybe it goes back to our, the podcast and the whole week last week about being corrected.
Very much so.
It's like knowing the heart of God and knowing the hand of God.
Yeah.
That even when it's like seemingly harsh, and it is harsh, mm-hmm. it can be like, mm-hmm. thank you. Mm-hmm. Like it can be like an oil.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It's like kindness.
Yeah.
So now what do I do with it?
Yeah.
And I think that's like what you're saying, is like, okay, let's receive the data from this correction mm-hmm. and exhortation and reproof mm-hmm. because we are his children.
Yeah. For my personal life.
Let's gather it
so
that I can use it to avoid the pitfalls, the stumblings and the like, really, like, I think ultimately the devil would want us to hurt each other, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I think that's one of the things that we saw in Romans 14, is that, where does it say that? It says, verse 13 and 14 of Romans 14, it says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know, and I am persuaded, meaning convinced in the Lord, that this is Paul, you know, like he's like convinced in the Lord and no other group or mm-hmm. faction or culture or way that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. And he goes on to talk about in verse 15, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love.
Boom.
By what you eat, do not. So that, and then it goes on to say in verse 17, 16, so do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Like you're doing more harm than good.
Yeah.
When you don't realize that this could be a spirit that's not of love, mm-hmm. that's not of building up and encouraging one another. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
This is so good because this gives a lot of clarity to what we're talking about here. Later in the week, I think it's actually tomorrow, Philippe's going to talk about the importance of knowing cardinal doctrines and, you know, those core doctrines versus like secondary and minor doctrines, right? And I think I was so glad to see that, and we don't need to discuss that today, but this clarifies when we talk about convictions, we're not talking about doctrines. So this isn't somebody saying, you know, if somebody doesn't think Jesus is the Son of God, like, don't worry about it. That's not what we're saying. Mm-hmm. This is about eating and drinking. So that puts it at a level of lifestyle choices, like, you know, do you think it's okay to drink caffeine? You know, mm-hmm. some people are like, no. And other people are like, I will die if I don't have caffeine. Mm. And that is like a personal thing. If God wants to speak into your life about that, he will. Mm-hmm. He'll expose something, and then you're going to examine it with him, and you're going to decide. And that's going to be something in your life.
And as a good believer, you would search the scriptures for it, right?
Yeah.
Like to see if it is so. Like the Bereans, see if it's so.
Yeah.
Is it like that? Is it actually, was it like that in the Pentateuch? Was it like that in the Proverbs, in the books of wisdom, right? Like, is it like that in the life of Job?
Yeah. And, you know? And it's not always going to say, like, it's not going to say something like, thou shalt not watch R-rated movies. That's not written there.
No.
And there's some people here who are like, hey, I don't have a problem with that. And some people who say, absolutely, I would never. And those are convictions that God gave you personally for you. Mm-hmm. And this is saying if you start to apply your personal convictions to other people, that can actually be damaging. Like you said, it can actually cause more harm than good.
Right.
And I think that's something we wanted to talk about kind of when it comes to like misconceptions about convictions.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to answer your question, what is a Christian supposed to do with his convictions? You know, I was just thinking 1 Thessalonians 4 is a great teaching on it. That he encourages a life that's pleasing to God. 1 Thessalonians 4. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For indeed, if what you are doing to all the brothers throughout all of Macedonia, like they're living this life, like this amazing life of Christ, a life of love in all of this whole region of this area. That's the context here. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work your own hands as we've instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. And it says this again in Colossians chapter 4, that like we should be careful how we walk towards outsiders.
It literally says, mind your business.
Yeah. And it says, verse 5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know what you ought to answer each person. Like we walk in this wisdom that has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. And this wisdom is also like love. Like we have been so loved that we now know how we can express it to others.
Yeah.
Like we have gathered this love and now we can use it as a discerner, you know? And I think maybe that's what would Jesus do? Like that bracelet that we put around our wrist, right? Like what an awesome bracelet in the sense that what would love do?
Yes.
And it would help guide us. It would help you. Its whole goal is to help you like be as if what Jesus would do, act as if he would, you know, what would he say, right?
Yeah, that's so good because it also clarifies again, when we talk about personal convictions, meaning that we don't apply them to other people, that doesn't mean they're not about other people.
Right.
They take into consideration our brothers and sisters.
Because remember, you're not compromising on your personal convictions when that's the core issue. Like Daniel in Daniel 1:8 purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat.
Yeah.
He was like, just no thank you.
That's a good a good way to put convictions. It's a purpose in your heart.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I think that's like that's the delineation or separation between personal and corporate, right? And then also like as we live this faith out in the world today, how do I live it out? Should I go around and legislate what I have been called to live out?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or should I live at this out before the one I stand and fall before? Because that's what it says in Romans chapter 14.
Yeah.
You stand and fall, or chapter 13 and 14, you stand and fall.
Well, and I think that's a really good point but also that when we think about others, what we present to others should be the gospel. Right. So when we're talking about people who are not believers, the thing they know the most about you shouldn't be that your do's and don'ts, you know, it should be like the love of God,
that's good.
Like the fruit of the Spirit is on display in your life. They see that joy that you have. They see the peace you have in a difficult situation. They see the patience, you know.
I have a little testimony about that. Like in my company, I have a bunch of guys that are Christians and, I've had a couple different people even recently say, like, I've watched you guys work and none of you talk a certain way. And we didn't say to them like, hey, would you hire us? Cause we don't talk this way. Like you should hire us. Like we're really good. Cause we don't talk this way. Like it was never a goal of ours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yet that was what was noticed. And it had been like such a compliment to the individual life that each one lives.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then corporately, it was like expressed to that individual. And I think that's the beautiful part of this is when I focus on the personal elements of conviction in my or in your life,
yep.
then the corporate convictions, like when the assembly happens, like when we come together in mm-hmm. his name, like the expression of those convictions, all under the word of God, submitted to the word of God and to the spirit of God, they are on full display.
Yeah.
And you can't even like, you don't even need to, there are no do and don'ts there.
Yeah.
You just sense a power and a cleanness, a holiness that is like God's presence.
Yeah. And I wanted to, we're getting some great comments. One of them was, what's the difference between feeling condemned and feeling convicted? And I recently had a conversation with someone about this because, and I think we might've touched on it last week when we talked about correction also, is that when you, again, when you know the love of God and that you are his child, like that, that's settled. It's permanent. Then when he does correct, you receive it as an exposing of sin, right? That's what convict is, that something's exposed. But the next step is not shame and guilt and fear, which is what condemnation is connected to, because being condemned is like being sentenced to a life in prison, right? Mm-hmm. They condemned him. That's what that means. We're never under condemnation. It says there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so if that is true, then when we are, when our sin is exposed by the loving hand of the Holy Spirit, that is being convicted, then we get to receive that in the love that it comes with. It's packaged in love, right? Yeah. Here's the, here's what you need to see in your life and consider, examine it and make a decision that you're going to make an adjustment, right? That to me is a really important distinction. So I'm glad that that was actually asked, because it's just at the heart of this is that God desires our good. And if that's why convictions really result from our hearts being convicted that God's way is better than mine. And if his way is better, then I want his exposing so that I can be more and more walking in his way and having his thoughts.
That's very good. I would say the same, like, condemnation, is of a different spirit. Yes, God will condemn the world someday. God has, condemned the world through and its foolishness, and he uses the foolishness of our of and I mean uses the simple things of this world to confound the wise, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But condemnation is not for children, not for God's children. And I think that's how I think if we are to ever be in the place of condemnation in our life, we can say, am I a child of God or not?
Right.
And it's like, absolutely I am.
Yeah.
And I am no, and I will take myself through my words, through what I hear, through my thoughts. I will reckon that I'm a child of God, and I am going to move away from this condemnation that even when my heart condemns me, there is someone else that is greater. And that greater person is the person we are already in. So I think that's like also part of being a discerner.
That's
is that
the point.
Like I have a heart that does condemn. I have it, like we said in the beginning, a heart that is drawn to the dust. Like it says in Psalm 119, like it cleaves to the dust. I think it's verse, I don't know, 25 or something. So, but then I have a new nature that is not condemning, that it doesn't have condemnation. It has love in conviction.
Here's an example that's happening right now in my head. You know so many more Bible verses than me, like the actual place that they are, right? And so sometimes I could be condemned by that, right? I could be like, man, this, he's so much better than me at the Bible, and I'm the worst, and I don't belong here, and I, you know, I don't deserve to be on this show right now. And that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God could say, hey, wow, like this guy really knows his Bible. And I could say, I want to know my Bible like that. And I could say, like, your life and your love of the Word of God
right.
convicts me. It exposes something that, man, this is an area I could improve on.
Yes.
And I want to do that. And so I'll take steps.
And also, in the same way, I could recognize, like, the Holy Spirit could show me through the love he has for people
mm-hmm.
that I could be legislating something
yeah.
like, you know, the flip opposite of this, right?
Right.
Like that I could be condemning in my nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's,
and that would lead you right back to where you just read
stumbling.
Romans 14.
Right.
You'd be like, God forbid that I would be a stumbling block
because
right?
it's not out of love.
Mm-hmm.
So I think ultimately, like, thinking about last week's messages on the Grace Hour, and then this, like, today, I think maybe is coming to the surface, is that we need to be convinced. We must be convinced of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
We
yes,
must
that's
be
it.
Convinced.
That's
like,
the beginning of everything.
Like in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says that, it says, for which is why I suffer as I do. Like, he goes through this suffering, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what he has entrusted to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Paul is convinced in the person of who he's built his life on.
Mm.
And that is, like, really our job as Christians, is to be convinced of this love and to be so subdued by that love and so controlled and rooted in that love, like it says in Ephesians 4, right? Like, rooted and grounded in that love, and to know all its measurements and its lengths and depths and widths and heights, so that we can know him and know him more.
Yeah.
And through that convincing,
yeah.
there are incredible convictions.
Hmm.
Like, through the convincing, there's personal convincing, there's incredible convictions. And like you said, I think there's, like, a fruit of it, like it says in those verses that you read in Ephesians 5. Like,
yeah, and I think another thing that just came to my mind, the distinction that as discerning believers we could have between condemnation and conviction of the Holy Spirit, is that one of those leads to growth. Like you just said, fruit. Like, conviction leads to growth.
Yeah.
But God's condemnation, like, keeps you trapped.
Yes.
I think condemnation can freeze you, like, right where you are. And you can just sit in it. It doesn't lead to growth. It doesn't lead anywhere, actually. Mm-hmm. It's like going and sitting in a pit. And we are not called to that. It is like, God forbid that we would take lightly what Christ has done for us so that we could be called children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did it all. He paid that price so that the Holy Spirit can convince us of his love and then lead us and convict us into that highway of holiness that we were talking about. So I think I wanted to also mention that another misconception that we could have as believers is that we need to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We want to talk about that.
And I think especially in unbelievers' lives, like, what are we called to be and do? And you read some great verses about living peaceably. And I think a part of that is that we lead with the gospel in our lives. And that means we lead with the sacrificial saving work of Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
Like, his love displayed on the cross is what we want unbelievers to see.
Right.
And that's where our joy comes from. That's where everything comes from. And not like, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that, or, you know,
well, it's like look
making
at it
them
this
feel
way.
Guilty.
It's not finger pointing. It's like hands raised.
Mm.
Like, I think of we celebrated, I won't name his name, an awesome pastor who I find his life to be so convicting.
Yes.
In the most loving way. And he's never once pointed the finger, you know, that I can remember.
Never. No,
but
he's convicting left and right.
But his hands are always raised to heaven, to Jesus.
It's
you
surrender.
Know?
He's so surrendered that it's convicting.
And it provokes me. And I'm just like, I've kind of like got my finger out. And then I'm just like, oh man, I should just raise my hands. And I should just
worship
God. That's
a beautiful way to put it. I love that so much. It's like, we have people in our lives. Let's not resist them. right? Or resent them for being holier than us. We should be like, wow, I want to be an imitator of that person, yes, as they imitate Christ. Yeah. Like they're imitating Christ. Their eyes are fixed on him. Mm. And because of that, they are going to be a convicting presence in our lives. Mm. And that is a gift, again, to us.
Yeah.
But I know that if I resist that Holy Spirit's conviction, when I resist it is when I can end up sitting in condemnation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it's like a dead end of growth is, yes, when we don't welcome that light being to expose things in our lives. Yes. And I know from my personal life that that's very much the
case.
Well,
and I think maybe to like kind of sum this up today, it's like, okay, you have your personal convictions, mm-hmm, and they have to come through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God and through his love, like right through this central inspired word, mm, that's able to save our soul, right? Like, yeah, receive the engrafted word with meekness, mm, which is able to save your soul. James 1:21, right? Okay. So, yeah, I receive it. I take it in. Now, corporately, like be around the people that spur you on to Jesus. Mm. Don't be around the people that are spurring you on to condemnation, mm-hmm, or, you know, just beware of that,
yeah,
you know, and beware of that in your own heart.
Yes, it's both, for
don't
sure.
Don't live in the condemnation of your heart. Be spurred on to the identity that you have in Christ,
yes,
that you are his child, that you are his daughter,
yep,
called by his name, and that you are loved and you have a place and you are a member in particular, 1 Corinthians 12:26,
yeah,
to 28. Like you got a seat at this table, mm, and whether you think you're weaker or stronger, it doesn't matter. God needs every single part. So like be spurred on. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be an imitator of me,
yeah,
as I am an imitator of God.
Yeah.
You know, Paul's like, just follow this line. Hands raised, yeah, you know? And then it's amazing because they become Christians who follow this. The scriptures show us that that's for the building up and edifying of the church. That's we're the ones that are going to build up, you
it's
know?
It's so much like God to do that, right? That his design would be beneficial to me.
Right.
When I accept this exposing and this convicting. And it's also then beneficial to everybody around me. Yeah. Like only God can do that.
Because if it's not love and like maybe it's another gift, like Paul said, like there's a more excellent way. Mm. And we can see that love is the supreme way to live and to convict.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
If I want to convict, if I want conviction for my life, find God's love.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's so good.
Don't go to some other avenue about like the do's and don'ts.
Right.
Like
find
God's love and he will teach you.
Yeah.
He will sit down with you. What is it to you? Just follow me.
Yeah.
I will teach you. You know, I love you.
That's beautiful. Wow. So this was awesome. I'm so encouraged. And this idea of conviction as a process of love, I hope has been encouraging to everybody listening. So, I mean, that's all we got for today, but tune in.
And thank you so much for all
your... Yeah, some great comments. Really appreciate it. So thanks for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe wherever so you don't miss any podcasts. We got, you know, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And tune in tomorrow as they keep talking about being a discerning believer.
It's going to be great.